Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. Now, settle into the couch or lean back in the car seat.
Here we go.
Here we go. Oh, no.
26 of the country's toughest competitors are about to go head-to-head in the toughest contest there is.
We have ourselves a contest.
This is Rugby League at its best.
Wow. What about that?
Triple M rocks the footy. Yeah. Triple M rocks the footy.
A very good afternoon right across the Triple M network as we rock the footy, and a big special afternoon today. We'll be on from 12 till 2, and then we've got a double header of rugby league. Dan's going to lead the way on both those games. Dan Ryan, Gerdler Gordy and Billy Harrigan. Two games live across the Triple M network, and we will have all those games for you. So just stand by and we'll get to those. Of course, the game at 4 o'clock today is the Raiders and the Roosters. So two games, one after the other, wherever you are, and that's all on the Triple M app. So make sure you get it now at triplem.com.au, or just make sure you listen to the station you are listening to right now. The guests include Sharks veteran Luke Lewis, Dragons and New South Wales lock Jack DeBellin. They finally got a win last night. Good on them, the Mighty Red V. And Jack celebrated a milestone of games. Our old mate Newcastle coach Nathan Brown. And a mate of all of ours, Jason Stevens, who has a brand new movie. He is a film producer. The movie is called Chasing Comets, and we want to get Jason on to talk about that movie a little bit later on. So stick around. We've got a big afternoon. Let me just welcome in this panel of experts. Firstly, to you, Gordon Tallis.
Good morning, Anthony. How are you?
I'm hearing all sorts of reports from friends of mine up around Cessnock that you were in wine country yesterday. Did you learn anything about wines?
Oh, I had a few Merlots and...
Merlots?
Yeah, Merlots.
What else you had?
What was your favourite... Would that be like a Merlot? Your favourite varietal grape, Gordon?
Carrez. I had a couple of Carrez. Merlots.
Is that
anything
like
else?
Peanuts. Yeah. Peanuts Noirs.
Because he thought a good wine was that cask you get at Aldi, didn't you, mate?
Yeah, the Coolabah cask.
Coolabah. Yeah.
Well, because the good thing about that is when you finish it, you can have it as a pillow. You just blow it up and it's a pillow at the end of it.
Speaking from experience, NRL 360 is on fire at the moment. Paul Kent, welcome to you.
Yeah, it's all alight at the moment, isn't it? Plenty to talk about in the game. Thank you, Anthony.
And me old mate, he's not only has he got triceps, now he's working on the biceps. The great man, James Triceps Hooper.
Anthony, how are you?
Fantastic. I saw Spud posted some vision of you training at his gym through the week. Seriously, mate.
When are you going to pop in, mate? Yeah.
Mate,
I like that leotard you're wearing.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gordon.
Yeah, no.
When are you going to pop in?
Well, I pop in from time to time, but you're not there all the time. I try to get to the gym every day. You're not there every day, but look...
Although, you're allowed back in your gym now, aren't you?
No.
You're not still on that watch list, sir.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You keep walking in there, mate.
They had a photo of him under the desk. They had to check it every time someone came in. Every time some silver fox walked in, they said, if there's a silver fox come in, just check the photo, make sure it's not this guy. What was her name again?
You, you know, what's really sad is we've only got 2 hours of this today. Anyway, the results so far: Broncos 38, Souths 18. Titans beat Manly 42-34. We'll get a chance to talk about Manly a little deeper in the course of the afternoon. Storm 20, Parramatta 4. Knights got a great win over Panthers, and we'll talk to Nathan Brown. Sharks 28, Cowboys 16. A little bit of fun and controversy coming out of that one. And like I said, Dragons back on the winning list with a 20-10 victory. That came at the expense of the Tigers. Does that mean it's the end for the Tigers? Well, Ivan Cleary doesn't think so. At the moment, the ladder looks like this. Storm, Roosters, Rabbitohs all on 32. Of course, Roosters have a game this afternoon. Dragons 30, Panthers 30, Sharks 30, Broncos, Warriors 28. So that gap of four continues down to the West Tigers. Then we go down to the bottom and we see the Doggies, the Eels and Cowboys all on 14. But at the moment, who would have thought it? The Cowboys are dead last on the EWFW ladder. We're going to take a song. We'll come back and talk about Sharks Cowboys as Triple M rocks the footy. Sunday Triple M NRL. It's thanks to our mates at Iveco. Oh, they make a fine truck. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Triceps Hooper, Maroon here. Plenty to get through this afternoon. Let's talk about that game last night with the Sharks beating the Cowboys 28 points to 16. So in all our wildest dreams, Hoops, I don't think anyone would have predicted the Cowboys would come last this year. I mean, there's still a chance not coming last with a couple of games to go, but right now they are at the bottom, the very bottom.
A lot of experts had him on top, and rightly so, when you think that Jonathan Thurston was coming back into the side after missing a large chunk of the season prior injured. Matt Scott was in the same boat, and then they recruited Jordan McLean from the Melbourne Storm, who, I've got to say, since he's come back from that foot injury in recent weeks, I think he's been a key inclusion for them, and he's been having a crack. But last night, no Matt Scott, no Jason Tormalolo, who's suspended. It was always going to be a hard ask down there at Shark Park, and there was a little bit of... there's a little bit of controversy in the game as well, Maroon.
I'll play you some audio of that, fellas. This is courtesy of Fox League last night. Now, the drama is around Andrew Fifita scores a try, really gutsy, near the line, just determination to get over the line, gets a try, turns, points to the commentary box and has a little bit to say to the coaching staff. Have a listen.
No, I know Jimmy's up there at halftime. He said I wasn't running hard enough, and I said I had a point to prove, and, you know, I guess I went out there and I think I scored that try. So, look, it wasn't really directed at Shane Flanagan. It was at Jimmy, so he told me I wasn't running hard enough. Yeah, I don't know where the Shane Flanagan thing come from, but honestly, Jimmy just said at halftime to me, I don't think you're running hard enough, big boy, and I just, you know, get a bit of extra motivation, and I had a point to prove, so I think I went out there and did my job, so yeah.
Okay, so while... Before I go to our panel of experts, look who we've got on the line here. One of the greatest NRL players in the history of our game, made his first grade debut in 2001, still going strong, a member of the Cronulla side, Luke Lewis. Welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Hey, boys, how are you?
We are fantastic. So can we start there, Luke? Mate, Fifita, was he talking to Jimmy Dimmick? Was he talking to Flano? Can you add anything to all this?
Oh, mate, you know what? I couldn't be, I suppose, telling the truth, but it was definitely directed at someone up there. But, yeah, look, Fifita wears his heart on his sleeve, mate. And, obviously, he wasn't happy with what happened, I suppose, during the game. I wasn't too sure what it was. But, yeah, I suppose he came out with a point to prove, and he scored that try, and he gets up and reacted the way he did, which isn't probably the best thing to do. But that's Fifita, and like I said, mate, wears his heart on his sleeve. He thinks he's doing the right thing. But I suppose if he had his time over again, he probably wouldn't do it. But, look, at the end of the day, mate, we won. No harm was done, and hopefully we can all forget about it and move on, to be honest.
Yeah, look, I wore my heart on my sleeve when I played, but I never pointed to a coach's box, and I've been told, mate, I've been caught a lot of things at half time. But,
that's probably true, and
that was from my own teammates. But, you know what I mean? Like, there's a way to react, and I suppose if anybody out there in the workplace did it to their bosses, they probably wouldn't be working on Monday.
No, you're 100% right, Gordy. It's definitely not the way to react, and it's not the, I suppose, the, you know, the thing we want to be sending out there to kids and all that sort of stuff. But mate, he's done it now, and yeah, look, I suppose I'll have to have a good conversation about it on Monday or Tuesday and make sure they clear the air and it doesn't happen again. But it wasn't a good look for the game, and it wasn't a good look for our side either, which is, you know, very disappointing, because we had a good win and we really enjoyed it. But that's just the way Fifita is. He's one of those blokes, like you said, you've always worn your heart on your sleeve the way you played as well, Gordy, and never done it. But he sort of just goes with the flow, reacts how he has to react, and then thinks about it later. He doesn't think about it at the time and make the right decision. But, mate, at the end of the day, like I said, there was no harm done. Just fingers crossed, mate, it doesn't blow, you know, too far out of proportion, and we can just worry about focusing on the next game.
Louis, how has this got the potential to go wrong? Because and how are you guys going to deal with it to make sure it's put to bed?
Yeah, well, fingers crossed, mate. You know, obviously, Flano and Jimmy and Fifita, they sit down and have a good chat about it and I suppose explain why he did get pulled off early and then I suppose Fifita will have his chance to explain why he reacted the way he did. But we have to get on the front foot pretty early and just sort of, you know, sort it out, make sure it never happens again. And it's not just because of the club and the position we're in and where we're trying to head, but it's the, I suppose, the image that we're setting for young kids. That's all we're worried about. You know, we want players, well, young kids to go out playing our game. And we just don't want people reacting the way that, I suppose, Fifita reacted to anyone on the sideline. You know, we're all out there to try and do our best. But, yeah, look, it was just one of those things, I suppose, heat of the moment. And I suppose a little bit of stress does sort of come involved when you're playing professional sport. But, yeah, like I said, the image isn't the best. And, yeah, I suppose I'll be trying to fix that up as quick as possible. The only way they can do that, mate, is to sit down together, talk about it, and make sure it never happens again, because it's all been done and dusted now.
And you blokes as senior players, yourself and Gal and whatnot, won't get involved?
Oh, mate, we'll probably have a chat as a group with Fafita, and mate, he's he even said sorry to the group already, and he said sorry to everyone at the stadium at the game. And mate, we're all grown men, and we all do stupid things, and we accept it, and we just move on. So, yeah, look, if we need to have a chat to him, we'll have a chat to him. But most of the words have been said, and everything's been talked about, and it won't happen again. And yeah, look, we're hoping to turn up Tuesday at training and be ready to go and forget about what happened on the weekend.
Talking about Tuesday training, mate, how is the calf? You said that it was cramping, was it? And it happened the week before as well?
Yeah, mate, I don't know what it is. It's last
it's
2 weeks.
It's called old age, Louis.
Yeah, I know. Everyone keeps saying that. Everyone keeps saying that. But, yeah, look, I think obviously I had the two calf tears and was just trying to get those minutes back in the legs. But the last 2 weeks, right on the exact same part of the game, it was 6 minutes to go against Melbourne, started cramping, and again last night, six minutes to go, cramped again. But they got pretty bad there last night. But yeah, look, I'm just glad I got the walk off the field with no injuries and get the opportunity to play again next weekend.
Louis, important win last night because it keeps you on 30 points and it keeps you within striking distance of trying to land a top four finish. Is that what you're aiming at now as a side? Because it gives you a couple of cracks come September.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. We'd love nothing more to finish top four. It's always been a goal of ours. From the day one, we've had our opportunities. We've let them slip a couple of times, but we've got our opportunity again. Now we need to just worry about week in, week out. Next 2 weeks are massive for us. So our preparation is key. We all know that. So our last 2 weeks, our preparation's been pretty good. And last night was always going to be a danger game for us, but for some reason, North Queens always turn up the play footy against us, and we've built up that good rivalry. But we got away with the win. So yeah, look, Newcastle ain't going to be any walk in the park either. I think they're playing outstanding football, especially with Mitchell Pearce back in the side and the way they're playing. They had a really good win out there at Penrith. So, yeah, look, super important for us to keep winning and, yeah, look, see where we are at the end of the year. But if we can get the next two wins and a couple of guys in front of us have a couple of losses, that'll be nice as well. And we get an opportunity to finish top four and, I suppose the whole new competition starts then. And if we can even a win in week one and have a week off going into the grand final week would be nice.
Yeah, talking about, the finals, and you've been there enough and you've played footy long enough, do you really rate this Cronulla side? Is it as good as the last Cronulla side that won a competition?
Oh, absolutely. I think we've got a really good side all over the park. We've got a great bench. I think Aaron Woods has added another dimension for us, to be honest, when he comes off, and we don't lose too much. We've got a really good defensive side. I think Matty Moreland's defence is, I suppose, getting better and better each week. His attack's been outstanding. But at the moment, we haven't nailed it week in, week out. We nailed it, I suppose, our game plan really well against Melbourne. We did it in patches against North Queensland last night. But like I said before, it's all about our preparation and making sure when we get out in the field, we're ready to play for 80 minutes. And at the moment, we're sort of on and off, so that's probably one goal that we need to focus on. But I think if we can play for 80, I'm a big believer we could definitely go all the way.
Louis, are you happy with the way your halfback Chad Townsend has responded over the last couple of weeks? He came in for some criticism in recent times, especially after the Broncos loss, but his defence has been solid the entire time, but he's also now starting to do look a lot more potent with the ball, his kicking options, everything across the park.
Yeah, Hoops, you're spot on. He was getting hammered there for a little bit, and the good thing about it, mate, is he didn't listen to it too much. He kept working on his game at training, and I think, when he's playing his best football, he's taken the line on with his running game, and he started doing that last week. He done it last night as well. He's definitely, his defence is, I think he's one of the best defensive halves in the game. Purely the reason I say that is because I get the defender next to him. His talk is excellent. In defence, he knows what's coming. He always gets you as a back rower up and knowing what's coming. And yeah, look, I'm very proud of him. So I gave him my player's play last night purely because the way that he, organised our side and the way that he turned up and his attitude towards training during the week is exactly what we needed. So, mate, he's definitely heading in the right direction. And as long as he stops, worrying about everyone else and just worries about himself and getting his game right, everything will flow from there. So, yeah, mate, he's got a couple more weeks to really find, his mojo, but he's definitely heading in the right direction. And if he's playing well, our team seems to play well.
Talking about worrying about himself, the gal's going around again. One more year.
He's going around again. I don't know how he's doing it, to be honest. But
you sure look, you don't know?
Yeah, but you know what? I've got to give him credit. He's playing good football, and mate, he loves the game. So for me, I think good on him. Full credit to him, and yeah, hopefully, mate, he gets to enjoy football next year, and mate, see where it takes him. You know, mate, he could probably play another year after that. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, Louis, you're great mates with Wade Graham. What's the latest with Wade? Will we see him back possibly before the finals, or?
Yeah, I think so, mate. He's going really well. His injury's coming along a lot. I'm hoping he's back this week, if not definitely for the last game against the Bulldogs. Get a game under his belt for semis, but he's a massive part of our side, mate. He brings a lot of attack. He's got a really good footy head on his shoulders, mate, and we need him in our team if we're going to do anything in this competition this year. So fingers crossed, mate, he's back sooner rather than later. But he's got to look after himself as well. That's something you don't really want to play with, that knee. And I don't think it's as bad as what we all expected. But, yeah, it's one of those things, mate. They're just frigging pain in the bum, to be honest. Like, you sort of try and move sideways, and it's hard to keep your feet. And you know, he loves to sort of, I suppose, skip across field, play a bit of ball playing. So he's not really just a line runner. So he needs his knee to be spot on if he's going to be at his best.
Louis, before you go, mate, what's the latest on Val? What's your thoughts there? What's your gut feeling there?
Mate, at the moment, I think he'll stay, and I'm hoping he stays. Obviously, mate, he's an absolute superstar, and he's a real gentleman. He's a good kid. He's willing to learn. I think he's going to be amazing over the next couple of years, especially at fullback, as he gets to learn the game a bit more. But, mate, I suppose he's just got to do what's right for him. I'm a big believer in that. I think if he's happy, his football, I suppose, will just keep going and getting better. So, mate, fingers crossed he stays with us, but I've got no idea what he's going to do. But he does want to be with family a fair bit. He talks about it all the time, and he'd love to play in front of his parents. So it's going to be a big job for us to keep him, but I think we're doing everything we can to keep him.
Now, before you go, Louis, I know you've been doing a little bit of radio at the other mob. I'm wondering if you're tied in there. And the reason I ask is that next year when you're free, I'm looking to make some changes to this particular show. This is probably a discussion we need to have off air, but I might be wanting to replace one of these three. Are you up for a little chat on that, mate? Maybe a coffee?
He's all made me up. He's all G'd me up. I don't know who's G'd me up or not these days.
Hey, Luke, Louis, don't worry. If we're going to make any changes to this panel, there's only one bloke under pressure.
You boys, so I hope I get an opportunity to do whatever I'm happy.
Good on you, mate. All the best to you, Luke Lewis. All the best for the remainder of the season. And as always, those interviews are...
See, you just offered someone a job. And he didn't take any notice of you.
Celebrations. Yeah,
you just offered someone who's hot. If you noticed, no one takes notice of you.
If he noticed, he did.
When are you going to get the hint?
He said, I don't know if you're G'ing me up or not, but I'd love to have any opportunity.
No, he wouldn't.
We don't have to fly him in, A. B, he doesn't butt in on people when they're talking like you just did to me. And C, he's a nice fella, Luke Lewis.
Hey,
he's a nice fella.
Incidentally, so why did you just turn English?
Incidentally,
then?
Did you pick Gordon up? Did you pick Gordon up at the airport?
He told me he would.
Did you leave
today?
Him posted again?
He has been in the Hunter Valley, as he just said, and he did not need a lift to the airport.
I did get a text message off him, and I text back, I would rather walk.
Yeah, right. So we'll remember that. We'll remember that from
That's
now on.
That's what I text back. As if I want to jump in your car.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Why would you when you can rort one for free everywhere you go?
Just while you're there, Gordon, talking yourself up, tell Maroon what you did to the car that you've been driving around. Yeah.
Oh, no, I got a beautiful R8 from Audi Australia.
R8. Yeah. And what happened to it?
Is it Zetland? Is it, you know, the...
Zetland, yeah, that's Rabbitohs Hartley.
Yeah, on Southern Cross Drive there.
I drove a beautiful R8, one of 999. It's white. I might even put it up on social media a little bit.
And what'd you do to it?
What I did?
I
did not. I drove responsible.
Yeah.
I don't have that many points left.
Mm. Well, not now anyway. But if you've seen someone screaming around the Hunter in an Audi, that was just Gordy. Those interviews, thanks to Celebrations, helping you celebrate. When we come back, another big interview on the way, boys. The great New South Wales Blues player, Jack DeBellin, as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M footy. Let's go! Across Australia.
Welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. Your team today, Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon. We've got two games this afternoon, okay? So 2 o'clock, there's a game, 4 o'clock. They'll be both live on the Triple M network. and Dan will call them both for you. It's a double header. You can listen to them on the station you are listening to, but just for safety's sake across the finals, get that Triple M NRL app now at triplem.com.au. Please, for Mary McGregor to see the Dragons get a win yesterday over the West Tigers, 20-10, and I think Hoops, you might have went along to Leichhardt and took the kids.
Yeah, I was out there last night. Terrific atmosphere, 18,000 plus at one of the great suburban venues in Sydney. And the Dragons, well, I'll tell you what, they were terrific. They were stoic. They were good. Gutsy. They needed to find something, and yeah, they delivered last night.
Yeah, the Tigers had all the running earlier. I think the first five or six penalties and
6-0 penalty count early on. The Tigers were camped on their own line, and the Dragons just kept finding a way defensively to force them into error. They were really, really stoic.
Yeah, like they're slowly starting to get back. I think the Origin little period, the headache, the hangover is slowly starting to go. Their forwards are starting to get back the energy that they played with. Benny Hunt is still working on his game. The greatest thing is, when he walked off, I saw Mary McGregor walk over and give him a big cuddle. Said, he's going to be my halfback as long as I'm coaching here. And I think that's a lot of confidence that you can give a player, because we're trying to get him to play like Cooper Cronk when he's Ben Hunt. And when Ben Hunt realises he can play like Ben Hunt, he's so, you know, he's so important to that organisation. And without Gareth Widdop, I thought it was a really good performance at Leichhardt with a side that that still had final hopes. You reckon?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, the Tigers had to win that game. Their season hinged on that game. So it was like a semi-final in terms of the result. And the Dragons, like I say, they found a way.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, they are back in the top four, but only just on the EWFW ladder. Let's talk to one of the Dragons' best, Jack DeBellin. Welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, mate, no easy games in the NRL. Obviously, a couple of games to go, but you're in the top four now on percentages, mate, but only just.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It's a crazy sport, rugby league, in the NRL there. It doesn't matter who you're playing week to week. It varies there. Some of the worst teams can come out and put you on show there, like what happened last week. But, yeah, we're in the top four now, which is pleasing, and hopefully we can cement it.
Hey, Jack, how is the body, and more importantly, you know, the mental side of the, you know, preparation now after Origin?
Yeah, no, I'm starting to find my feet again, which is good. It's a bit different, mate. I suppose you know all about it, but yeah, I obviously struggled with it a little bit, but I definitely feel like I'm on my way back now.
Your coach said, Jack, after that victory, that it was the best victory he's been a part of as a coach. What was it that was so pleasing for you guys as a group?
I don't think we were at our best last night, but we just were desperate, and I suppose we had the right attitude, and I felt like our energy was back, in a sense that I suppose it's been lacking of late. And it was just good to see our goal on defense, for example. Everyone was turning up for one another, forcing errors, and covering each other's backs when someone would make a mistake or something like that. So yeah, it was very pleasing.
How have you guys got through the process, Jack, of getting, yeah, going through that slump and trying to fight your way out? Every time I've spoken to Mary McGregor, he's always been very upbeat about it, and always in control of where you're going and aware of what he believed the reasons were. But as a playing group, how have you handled it?
To be honest, I feel like we've handled it pretty well. I suppose last week was a low point, but we've kept positive the whole time, because when you look around our side and our squad, we've got so much talent there, and we know how good we can be, and we showed that at the start of the year, and I suppose we're obviously building back to that now, and I'm going to give the finals a red hot shake.
No Gareth Widdop last night. Is there any update on how long you might be missing your 5-8-4, Jack?
I'm not too sure, to be honest. I think he could be right for the finals. So, yeah, he's a big loss for us. But I thought Curtie Mann did an outstanding job last night. He shows his versatility there. The week before, he's playing in the middle, and last night he's playing in the halves and doing an outstanding job for us.
Mate, talking about your halves, what about Luciano Leilua? It looks like he's lost a lot of weight, but he's slowly starting to get more quality minutes out of him, aren't you?
Yeah, he was outstanding for us last night. I think that's definitely his best game in NRL, and he's got so much potential. No one's even seen it yet, to be honest. So it's only a matter of time for Big Lucci. Hopefully, this is going to head him in the right direction for the rest of the year.
Jack, what about the rest of the season? Teams like yourself, you're in semi-final mode now. What do you guys do to prepare yourselves for the final series, and how you navigate your way through the other teams there?
I suppose we've just got to stay nice and fresh and keep the positivity around training. And it is a week-to-week thing. And But you can't be looking towards the final. Obviously, you are looking towards the finals, but then at the same time, we've still got two games before that. So it's a week-to-week thing, and all our focus will be on the Bulldogs this weekend.
Do you begin to tinker, though, with the way you play or things you do to get yourself semi-final ready?
I wouldn't necessarily say in that sense. I feel like it's more just an attitude thing, because in finals, it's do or die, so you definitely got to come with the right attitude and mindset, and you got to play for another and do all your team first actions, whatnot, that is required. So it doesn't necessarily change, but I feel like it's probably a little bit more on the mental side there come finals time.
What about your halfback, Jack, Benny Hunt? He's been in the headlines a hell of a lot lately. We saw his partner take to social media this week to defend him. He got sin bin last night, made a couple of mistakes, but the main thing is you guys got the win. How's he holding up?
Yeah, mate, Benny Hunt's good. he'd obviously be disappointed in his form, but he's not alone, mate. I think half the side's probably feeling the same way he was, but everyone's got his back, you know what I mean? Like, it's 17 players that go on the field there, so no one can be held accountable. So we've got his back, mate, and he'll be sweet.
The talk among the team now, mate, how much are you going to talk about the Roosters, where they're at, how you beat the Roosters, South Sydney? Those teams are all top four. You look like at the moment you're going to be playing Roosters in the first week of the finals if things go the way they are. Do you begin to sort of get your head around that now?
To be honest, as I was saying before, keep it week to week, and whoever we play in round one of the finals, and we'll be worrying about it then. So, but yeah, we've played all the top four sides. I'm pretty sure we've beaten them all, and they've beaten us as well. So on any given day, I feel like we can beat any side. So yeah, that's just a matter of us getting 100% effort and attitude there.
You don't like giving much away, do you?
Oh, good. Yeah, no, well, well answered.
Good on you, Jack. Good to catch up with you, mate, and good to see you blokes back in the top four. I mean, you had a great start to the year. Went a little bit rocky, a little bit patchy, but you're back on deck now and in the top four. So congratulations on your milestone, 150 games, and all the best for the rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, guys.
There he is, Jack DeBellin, joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL. As always, it's thanks to Celebrations, helping you celebrate. And
dangerous, those blokes that don't talk a lot.
Yeah. Well, you'd never have that problem, would you? Hey? See? Is that just sinking in now? And for the poor old Tigers, Ivan still thinks the Tigers are a chance of somehow doing something, but I don't. The year is over.
Organising a mad Monday.
It's all done now. Top eight's
done. Yeah, top eight. There's only two rounds to go, but I suppose, you know, it's such a great improvement within the Tigers organisation this year. Sorry,
Kenny. I was just about saying, but not only it has been a great improvement, but not only do the Tigers have to make up two wins against the Warriors or the Broncos, but they're minus 44 on points differential.
It's impossible.
And the Warriors are plus two. So they've also got to pick up the best part of 46 points in points differential, which is possible if there's two losses and two wins.
Yeah.
But, gee, it's tough to do.
Yeah.
Like I can't see it happening. They play Souths in the final round of the season.
Ooh. Yeah.
I can't see the Tigers making up that differential. I know Ivan's got to try and find a reason to stay upbeat and keep his team together. But, nah, they're done and dusted for the season, unfortunately, the West Tigers.
Coming from a true Tigers, man, eh?
Well, you got to be a realist, ain't you, Gordon?
Mate,
I had my kids there last night and all the people in the crowd, you know, everyone was excited leading into the game. We're playing the Dragons. There's a great rivalry. We're at a suburban venue.
We thought
we were a genuine chance given the fact that the Dragons have been going through a bit of a form slump. But, the Tigers didn't do themselves any favours last night. A lot of drop ball, especially early on, as you touched on.
6-0 missed tackles or something.
Yeah, that's right. And a 6-0 penalty count, yet they weren't able to take advantage.
I am over watching football these days and seeing runs of penalties.
Yeah.
I'm sick of seeing. They bring it up in the coverage, and you'll see five, six penalties in a row, and then the other team will go on a streak, which is just a square up.
Yeah. Well, there's 18 penalties last night.
Yeah. But Gordon, it's not necessarily the amount of penalties. It's Tigers penalty, Tigers penalty, Tigers penalty, Tigers penalty, then Dragons penalty, Dragons penalty, Dragons penalty, and it's in nearly every game. Mm. It's like, look, I don't want to say that they are working at KPIs, although I would believe they are, but it's like they're getting a tip off in their ear, mate. It's a 6-1 penalty count here at the moment. You need to look at squaring this up a bit,
or is it when the side's got momentum? And we all know hold on, let me finish.
That's probably how it begins.
Yeah, but like when they got momentum, when they're starting to give away penalties and the ref's going, come on, boys, let them start to play footy, and we're trying to hold them down, and the side that has the momentum...
Yes.
That, the other side's trying to slow them down. Is that why they're getting the penalties?
I'm sure that's how it begins, but I can't see how a team that's getting penalties, has the momentum, suddenly gets into a trot where they give five or six penalties away themselves in a row. That's where the logic breaks down, other than to think that the referees are working. I know the referees sit down and think an 8-all penalty count's about ideal.
Boys, okay, well, look, Hoops, let me give you the last word on this one. You are a Tigers tragic. They're not going to make the 8. They've had a good season, though. They've been competitive. They started the season so well. Luke Brooks is a very improved player. Now they get an off-season with Moses Mbai. I suppose there's a little bit of a tarnish on the year with that whole Ivan Cleary thing, but overall, it's been a good year.
Oh, look, there's reason for optimism, Maroon. You touched on Moses Mbai. I think he's been a great acquisition for the side at fullback. He's made a real impact immediately. Josh Reynolds was one of their gun signings, but unfortunately for Josh, injury hampered his season, and so he didn't get a lot of time out on the field, but you'd think he'll be back and in the 17 somewhere for next season. Look, the million-dollar question, which you can't avoid around the West Tigers, is who is going to be the head coach next year. Now, Ivan's come out and stated that, yes, he is going to remain on the bus and he is going to remain in charge of it. But to this point, he refuses to take questions from any of the members of the media about that. And there is no question whatsoever that he did entertain a possible return to Penrith. So rugby league, as we know, can throw up some doozy cards sometimes. And I just hope, for the sake of the club, that Ivan is a man of his word and that he does stay there for next season and beyond.
Stay right there, boys, because what we're going to do, we've opened up a special edition next. We're going to talk about, just to put it to bed for today, coaches next year. If you blokes want to ask any questions about Ivan, I can't believe we haven't put that to bed yet, about Trent Barrett, about who'll coach Penrith, about who'll coach Wayne Bennett, the coaching merry-go-round. We all find a horse and we hop on for one more time today as Triple M rocks the footy. Welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. Yeah, thanks to those great people at Iveco Trucks. Gordy can scam a free car. He can't scam a free truck. If he would, though, he'd get an Iveco.
No, I think Frizzell's have a new truck stop out there, well, just on the highway.
If it's not Iveco, we don't want to talk about it. check out the special edition.
They sell them.
Triple Eight Race Engineering inspired daily light truck. That's what real people drive, in a Iveco truck, not a $500,000 V10 Audi R8. Yes. But anyway, that's your business, Gordon.
With scratch wheels.
With scratch wheels.
Hey, you know, can I throw it out there, Anthony? Because
Here we go. You're not gonna.
The show's got a lot of credibility, right? We got triceps over here. Yeah, well, mate, we got triceps that broke the peptide thing. We got poor Kent, right? We watch him on 360. I played a bit of footy, and you have these stupid bets.
Yeah.
And we've got to own up. We've got to go to Port Macquarie. You've got to get in the Roosters cheerleader. Yeah. Otherwise, the show can't continue the way it's going, mate.
Well,
we might as well turn into something else. We might as well turn into the Saturday show.
Hey. Come on, Gordon. We're all amongst friends now.
All right.
No, mate, I'm serious.
Yeah.
So why don't we get on the road? Why don't we put it out to the fans?
Yep.
Right, of Port Macquarie, whether we go there. And I'm happy to drive, land here, and we'll get a nice car again.
You can go up in the Audi.
Mate, and we'll go
with him?
No, mate. Mate, I'll get a bigger car, and we all drive up there. Yeah, we land, and we go do the show up there, and you can be a man of your word and finally get some credibility.
Did I not tell you when this 6 months ago that there is a man in my suburb with the nickname Ayrsy, who relies on me to get him to Prince of Wales Hospital to get on the dialysis machine.
When? Yeah. When does he?
He relies on me just about every day now.
How often do you take Ayrsy?
Just about every day now.
There's a portable one now. See, Ayrsy can come with us, and we can bring the dialysis machine as well.
How old is Ayrsy?
Oh, he'd be 79, 80. But, if his daughter's not down from the Central Coast, it's only me. So let's leave it at that.
Mate, we can work that out. We can sort it all out.
Ayrsy, if you're listening, old mate, I would not leave you in the lurch, buddy, so don't.
He knows that. But you've got to stop lying to the fans, Maroon.
Mate, I'm not lying to anyone, mate.
You promised that if the West Tigers beat the Roosters, that you were going to dress up as a Roosters cheer girl out the front of the pub in Port Macquarie and do a dance.
And then I said when I could get to it. Why are we revisiting this again?
Because our boss Buzz just walked in.
Don't worry about what he says.
You don't worry about what your boss
don't
says.
Don't worry about what
don't
he
turn
says.
Into Andrew
hey,
Fafita.
Don't be Fafita.
Look at you. Okay, yeah. I do care what the boss says.
Right.
And we just need a little road trip, okay?
Okay.
So I reckon we open it up to the fans. And
don't open up to the fans. They've got enough to worry about.
Why not
about.
Open well, up to the
because
fans?
Because the mate. Fans know where I'm coming from, mate. There's an old man on a dialysis machine.
Right, and what
we'll
about
organise
we
the
go
best
there.
Medical care for Ayrsie so but that he not, is catered
it's,
for.
Look, it's,
and we'll run we a couple of auctions and we'll give some money to the farmers out there to the charity. So now you don't care about the farmers as well. That's all you're trying to tell me.
Ayrsie's doctor said the best thing for him is to just stay in a routine. I'm just trying to keep him in a routine.
Yeah,
so he is one of the dialysis
we'll get Mr. Portugal 1984 to take him.
Me, I take him.
When, today?
I take him just about every day now.
What time?
I took him this morning.
Yeah, good. Well, you can take him this morning, get back early,
mate,
and we can
listen,
still get up
listen.
There.
Why don't we leave this discussion for after the footy season and we'll see if we can't squeeze it in then? What do you reckon? Hey?
Jeez, mate, you'll just...
What are you doing? Do you have a cashie on all these next weekends?
I don't, mate. Listen, don't go down that road.
That's why.
This show's about rugby league,
that's
okay?
That's why.
And that's a bet. In a Roosters cheer, nothing screams rugby league more than a cheerleader, right? With you and leotards.
You would not even... Look, anyone listening through Triple M Port Macquarie, no one would know about this bet if Strawny, with his big mouth, hadn't have told you. He does the breakfast
you
show up there.
You said it on national radio.
I said it up there in Port Macquarie.
What do you mean nobody would know about
listen,
it?
Can we,
the look, world knows about it because
the
you
world
said
doesn't
it
know about
to
it.
Millions of
the
people.
The only people that are worried about it are you three old ladies, okay? The Andrews sisters, you three old. It's like a sewing circle every Sunday getting in here, gossiping and whinging, and when are you going to Port Macquarie? If I didn't have this old man to worry about, I would have done the bet by now.
Bullshit.
All right, can we leave this for off air? Now, Broncos 38, Souths 18, Titans 42, Manly 34, Storm 20, Parramatta 4, Knights 20, Panthers 12, Sharks 28, Cowboys 16, Dragons 20, Tigers 10. Those scores, as always, are thanks to Tyre Power. The coaching roundabout, are we over it? Well, I tell you who sounds like he might be over it, Souths coach Anthony Seibold.
So I just want to make a couple of, I want to make a statement. It's been a circus the last week in regards to the speculation around my coaching career. And individually, I'm really disappointed. I've been very open with the media. And some of the things that have been said in the media are just not true. I'm not going to answer any questions about the Broncos. I'm not going to answer any speculation about my coaching career. I'm contracted to the Rabbitohs for the next 15 months.
See, Paul, this is the thing. I love Anthony Seibold. I'm obviously a Rabbitohs supporter. But he says, I'm contracted to South for the next 15 months. What is that actually saying?
It means nothing. Unfortunately, all the goodwill about contracts is gone. And it's one thing for Anthony Seibold to have a shot at everybody, say, you've turned it into a circus and I'm contracted here for 15 months. Well, we just saw a fortnight ago a coach who had even longer on his contract get sacked.
Mm.
Okay, we saw another coach who's got 2 years to go on his contract entertain the idea of switching clubs. So the goodwill that a contract is a contract, so I'm going nowhere, it's just irrelevant these days.
But I'm on Anthony Seibold's side. He stayed quiet, right? And if you stay quiet, person fighting you. So then he comes in and says, listen, I'm contracted here, right? And then something might change, Paul. But at the moment, he's going, listen, I'm here.
He keeps saying...
But Gordon, let him finish the year.
It's about the slipperiness of language. It's one thing to say, I'm contracted here. It's another thing to say, I am not leaving and going anywhere. I am staying here. They are two different... Because one, you can say, well, I'm contracted here, but the conditions change, therefore I'm out of the contract. That's what's happening. There's so much slippery language. Back in the day, when I was first reporting, you'd ring up a player you'd been told had signed elsewhere, and you'd say, mate, I hear you've signed to play with Parramatta, for example, and they'd say, mate, I haven't signed a contract to play for Parramatta. And then what you began to find out was, that's true, they hadn't signed a contract to play for Parramatta, but they'd signed a letter of intent. They all were signing letters of intent back then. So what they do is they talk to a specific part of your question. And it's one thing for a coach to say, I'm contracted for another 15 months, as if to say, I'm not going anywhere. He didn't say, I'm not going anywhere. What he has said is he's put off contract extension talks until the end of this season, which unfortunately for Anthony Seibold happened about the same time that the Broncos said that they would put off their search for their next coach until the end of the season.
So they've picked a couple of words. So Anthony Seibold's picked a couple of words and run with it. So media haven't picked a couple of words and written what, like, their side of the story.
Gordon, because what I'm saying is everybody's suspicious because contracts don't mean anything.
Everybody's suspicious because Wayne Bennett and Griffin got sacked, right? Griffin got moved on.
Yep. But Wayne Bennett hasn't been sacked.
He's going to be – well, he's not going to be –
he's just not going to have his contract renewed. That's different from Wayne Bennett being sacked.
Well, Wayne's taken it that way.
Wayne wants an extension. Wayne wants to still be the coach of the Brisbane Broncos in 2020.
And
the Broncos have clearly told him that he's not going to be.
Would you give it to him?
No, not at the moment.
Would you give it to him?
No, but that's not the point. That's not what this issue is about. See, the Broncos tried to be clever early on with how they were handling Wayne while they were secretly trying to get Craig Bellamy. And by not being fully transparent, what they did is that they created an environment of distrust and they lost control of it all. Now, if you're open and honest and you come out and you say, I'm not going or I'm staying, or and you are very direct and plain in your language, you end it there. You end the conversation there. But when you try to be clever and you try to, I'm not talking about it till later in the year, or, you know, I've got a contract. We all know a contract means nothing. The Broncos tried to handle it the clever way, the new management style way, and they've lost control of it now.
Well, how was there a way then?
Because they should – look.
So what should Anthony Seibold say to get everybody off his back?
He should say, I will not leave South Sydney before this contract is done. And Gordon, if South Sydney are coming to him and he's happy at the club he's at and they say, mate, we love the job you're doing, we want to extend you for two more, 3 more years because he finished his contract, which is all they've said to him, and he, rather than, if you want to end the speculation, make the extension. It can't be, if you're happy in the job you've got.
Let me just jump in there, Paul. Let me just jump in there, Paul. So, firstly, in relation to Anthony Seibold, I really like Anthony Seibold. I think he's one of the best young coaches in the game. I think he's been exemplary and really fair with the media up until this point. I don't have an issue with him wanting to vent a little bit and being frustrated with some of the commentary that's been going on around his coaching. Now, I believe what one of the reasons why Anthony was so worked up on Thursday night is because on NRL 360 on Wednesday night, I said that there are some people in the game that will tell you that the deal with the Brisbane Broncos is done. I don't believe that to be the case. I am not saying that that is set in stone, right? But that was the way that I communicated it on Wednesday night. Now, that then led to a whole raft of further headlines. Anthony had done a press conference that we played on the show that night when he was at the airport, where journalists had asked him about, you know, the possibility of whose barbecue would he go to, whether he'd go to Wayne's barbecue. And he'd innocently answered them a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but also just trying to be fair and not dismissive and trying to be a little bit of an open book. But to go back to your initial point there, where Anthony has got himself in a little bit of a jam is, my understanding is the Bunnies actually went to him about 8 weeks ago and said, you're going so well, we love what you're doing, we want you here long term.
Yes.
And I believe that they tried to start getting the ball rolling.
He told me that.
About locking in a new deal. And they even talked about extending, you know, way beyond the current tenure of 2 seasons.
They did. Just to interrupt there, I can tell you that he came on 360, told us about that before we went on air, and we said, can we ask you about that on air? And he said, yes, we can. And then he came on air and we spoke to him about South asking for a contract to begin negotiations to extend his contract, and him saying, look, I just want to put it off till the end of the year. And he's entitled to do that, okay? But in this current environment, and this is where he's, at the time it was fine, everybody dealt with it, but since then we've had one coach get sacked with 2 years to run on his contract, we've got this circus that's just kicked up where there's so much speculation around, and unfortunately for him, as I said, and it might be just a case of bad timing, but the club that's most interested in him is the club that about the same time he said he wanted to delay his contract talks till the end of the season, is the same club that said, well, we'll wait until the end of the season before we go after our next coach. Now, that might be 2 and 2 adds up to 22, okay? But the fact is, if you are a fan, if you are a South Sydney fan, you are entitled to be concerned. And you are entitled to worry about it. And you're entitled to wonder what's going on there. That's what fans do.
Anthony C. Bolton entitled to look after his family and go, well, I'm going to be here for another 15 months. Then after that, if Brisbane want to take me when Wayne leaves, I can go there and I can make that decision. But at the moment, I'm going to be here for 15 more months. But after that, I don't know.
But just on the Bunnies, Gordon, I mean, Russell Crowe is one of the co-owners. I can't see, given the success Anthony's had and the rave reviews he's got amongst the playing group and the support he has, I can't see Russell Crowe just all of a sudden lying down and deciding,
they're
you know
salary
what,
cap now.
I'm just going to let this young gun coach who we've given his first opportunity. That's a soft cap. You can just cut checks and
yeah,
sort
I know that.
Out,
but being privately owned, they're not going to want to just throw money away either. There's a soft cap coming in on your football staff, which includes the head coach's salary, and if you go over that, then you've got to pay a tax of 37.5% on it. So that's why they will try and keep it within that cap range. That's where it becomes an issue. But look, I just think that it's unfortunate for Anthony Seibold that he's in this situation. It's unfortunate for Wayne Bennett he's in this situation. But that's the environment they've all created, collectively, not individually, but collectively, they've created it. We've seen a coach in the past fortnight sack with 2 years to run. We've seen another coach with 2 years to run on his contract entertain the idea of leaving right now to go and coach them.
Can I just clarify as well, Maroon? Like, when I said what I said on NRL 360 last Wednesday night, I certainly wasn't trying to have a shot at anybody's integrity or question their word, but there are people in the game at the moment who will tell you that they believe that that deal is done. I'm saying I don't believe it is done. I'm not prepared to go that strongly, but nobody was questioning anyone's integrity.
Boys, the other coaching thing, the other coaching job is now Trent's going to be gone from Manly at the end of the year. So yesterday on Saturday, Triple M NRL, there's a great interview with Jeff Tuvey, and you put the question to him, Hoops. You put the question to Tuvs, would he go back to coach in the NRL at Manly?
You still got a lot of support amongst the fans, Tuvs. Did you see the sign last night? Bring back Tuvs, # out the front of the Brookvale Hotel. They still love
you. You wouldn't believe I was driving past there this afternoon coming home from work and I saw the sign. Good supporters there. The fans are very passionate about the club and about their players and former players. And I was very thrilled that I still had that support in the community.
Would you do it?
Oh, look, I would, but I don't think that the owners, the current owners, would probably swallow their pride and want me back there. So, look, that's just the way it is.
Now, Paul, you said on 360 through the week, you think a Tuvey brings some Manly back to Manly or something along those lines.
Yeah.
You think that is the answer? Because that's not always the answer,
I wouldn't say it's the answer. I think Manly have got several viable choices to make. I think Tuvey, he brings back a part of what they need, which is that manliness about Manly. It's the insular peninsula. That's what they are, and they like everything to come from within their own. And
guess what? Manly hates you too.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. And Tuz brings that back. I think he coached about 58% while he was there. He had a good winning record, and luckily got beaten in a grand final. A bit of luck they could have won that. But the point is, he brings back part of that Manly DNA. That's not, I don't think, yeah, people sort of, Manly have always been a club that you had to deal with a certain way from a media point of view because they were Manly. They were Manly people throughout the club, but it's not there now. None of that's still at the club. I don't find any of it anywhere.
Biggest problem Manly has to sort out as soon as possible, Kenty, is the administration. So Scott Penn's the owner. Lyle Gorman's the current CEO. There's all these whispers going around that Lyle's not going to be there beyond this season. He's applied for the Dragons job. He hasn't exactly handled the course of the last couple of weeks very well. They got to sort the front office out. It's the old Jack Gibson saying, winning starts Monday, winning starts there. And at the moment, that's why they're such a basket case. That's why we've got a situation where, as you reported, Trent Barrett's handed in his resignation. He's not going to be there. Who knows if they're going to let him go next season or they're going to make him stay. Apparently, Lyle Gorman told some people last week, no, Trent's going to be our coach till next July, which is his 12-month. How can that possibly work?
Well, it gives them 12 months to go look for someone.
Yeah, I know, but what are they going to do? Like, change coach in the middle of
I'll tell
the
you how
season?
We fix it. I'll tell you how you fix it if you're a coach. Be in the bottom three. Because you're not getting spoken about. So Dean Pay, Paul Green and Brad Arthur,
exactly.
You're safe.
Yeah.
But if you're anywhere else in the ladder other than Craig Bellamy, you're in trouble and your job's not safe. That's what it's telling me.
My thoughts are that, like, with
this is an opportunity for Manly. Now, if they get Toews or Desi Hasler, we love all these guys and we know they're part of the DNA at Manly, but sometimes I think, certainly from...
That's the problem of Manly.
I don't think they'd go back to Des Maroon. I don't think they'd go back there given the way he left the club.
Sometimes, from my own experience in my own footy club years ago, sometimes when you start looking back at where you... two glory days, you bring those sort of people back in, it brings the crowd back in, but it still doesn't really solve the long-term problem.
It doesn't. Manly was Manly when it had the Stewart boys, that had all that. That was a freak era. Yes. You know, the Jamie Lyon, they had all those guys.
But on that, Gordon, I will say, in support of Des Hasler getting the job, Des took Manly when they were a basket case in the early 2000s, and they were pretty ordinary, and Des, on the back of his own sweat, turn them into a premiership powerhouse.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that one too. The latest on Manly, and of course Wayne Bennett, and who's going to coach the Panthers? It's a big old merry-go-round. I know a lot of people would like to see it end, but it won't end for a while. Sunday Triple M NRL. It's all thanks to Aveco. That's Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper, and Maroon. Still plenty to come. We're going to speak to a couple of big guests coming up. Stay right there, including Jason Stevens, film producer extraordinaire. He is the Stanley Kubrick of the Sutherland Shire. We're going to talk to him shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.